Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanta Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And what a beautiful time to be in Prashanti now. Slowly this sacred hamlet is getting filled up with so many young hearts of all colors and faiths, languages and regions. And all are so full of joy. Their hearts so full of devotion for Bhagwan. And they are coming for the grand opening of the Guru Purnima celebrations this year with the World Youth Festival. And this is really not a workshop or a conference, but a festival. Small groups have started coming, and this is the feeling that always comes to you when you see all these people. They are all here for a festival of joy, a festival of love, a festival of grace. The bliss of being with each other and bliss of experiencing Bhagwan through this. We are definitely going to capture some of these beautiful moments, thrilling moments in the next few days. But today it's time to continue what we started last Thursday, which is also based on the youth. But the youth of the Satya Sai Senior Boys Hostel, the current Sai students. We know how when Bhagwan was physically present, he used to magically teach what he wanted boys to really learn in so many amazing ways. Profound lessons were conveyed, sometimes through a smile, a word, a glance, sometimes by withdrawing a glance, at times by withholding a Pad Namaskar, sometimes by showering unimaginable love, at other times by giving only a taste of it, sometimes through a discourse, other times through an interview, and yet other times just through one word, one small interaction. One morning in Vrindavan, when Bhagwan emerged from Darshan, there were four students in a row on Bhagwan's pathway. It was the old Vrindavan days. Out of the blue, Bhagwan asked one of them, "Hey boy, who are you?" And the boy was zapped. He tried to compose himself and unable to think much, he just muttered, "Swami, I'm a student of your college." The Swami just nodded and he asked the next student, "Hey, who are you?" So given Swami was not so pleased with the previous response, so this boy thought, maybe I need to elaborate more and be more clear with extra details. So he said, "Swami, I am from the state of Madhya Pradesh. My name is Rakesh and I have come here to study." So Bhagwan just heard and moved on. The third student in row was Dr. Ravi Kumar, the current warden of the Sri Satya Sai Hostel in Bengaluru. He was then an undergraduate. And Swami asked, "Hey, who are you?" And Dr. Ravi Kumar thought that it is evident that Swami is not happy with the previous responses. So I really need to say something which is not mundane and which is really from the heart. So with all humility and sincerity and hands folded in deep reverence, he said, "Swami, I am your child, Swami." So Swami smiled. He patted his cheeks with much love and Swami said, "Good, good, good boy." And then Swami turned to the fourth boy and again the same question. Now this boy thought, now this means that Swami is not happy with any of the answers till now, because even Ravi Kumar's response has not satisfied him completely. Swami is still looking for something else. And even as he was thinking this, he suddenly recollected the public discourse that Swami had delivered the previous evening, where Bhagwan had explained the concept of Soham, which means I am that. So Bhagwan had said the whole universe is the manifestation of one principle which is ultimate, and that is the source of everything. Nobody and nothing is different from that principle. So this is what Bhagwan had mentioned the previous day, and this is what was playing in his mind. And the boy was very happy that, you know, this thought occurred, and so he congratulated himself for his presence of mind that now this is something Swami will like. So he said, "Swami, Soham, I and you are one." And the moment he said this, Swami's face burst forth with a quizzical expression. Swami said, "Oh, is that so? Oh, very good. Very well then. So, I and you are one. So, why don't you go and give darshan now? Go, go. Go and give darshan." And Swami smiled mischievously and the boy was flummoxed. He didn't know what to do. All his smartness suddenly evaporated. He was so lost. And he looked at the Lord now with very pleading eyes, you know, seeking his forgiveness for his, what he thought now was real stupidity. But Swami looked at him with all kindness and Swami said, If you had said whatever you said, not from your lips, but from the depths of your heart, if you really believed what you said with your everything, then even if you had gone out and granted darshan, all the devotees would have seen not you, but me. Swami says that we should not be artificial, but heartificial. So what matters to him is not our talent or competence, but the space from which they are coming from. If the source is right, everything, all outcomes in life would also automatically be perfect. What an amazing lesson. And so many such profound, powerful interactions used to happen with Bhagwan back then and even much later. Because if there was any group that received constant attention from Bhagwan year after year, no matter how busy Bhagwan was physically, it is the students. The lion's share of his time was always for the students. And that is how, perhaps how we see every student so magnificently different from what they were when they joined the college. Once they step out of the college, they are completely something else. And this is how it was when Bhagwan was in the physical form, because his touch, his smile, his look used to make so much difference. But what set me thinking a few days ago is, how is it now, post-2011, after the departure of the physical form, how is this transformation happening? Is this transformation happening? Or has it all slowed down? Has it all really mellowed down? How do people connect to Swami? And do really that kind of turnaround in their character, is it happening? And it is this curiosity that drove me to speak to some of the current students of the Prashantanilam campus of Bhagwan's University. And last week in this hour, I shared with you the first part of the conversation that I had with Devjit Audi, a student in final year MA, Master of Arts, and with Sudhir Babu, who is also in his final year MTech, Masters in Technology, and Gaurav Verma, also in second MTech. And if you heard that episode, you will definitely be eager to listen to today's episode to see what happened and how their characters started shaping up, because each story was fantastic, so revealing. And today they go on to share more experiences of how the hostel and being in Satya Sai institution has completely brought a 180 degree change in their perception of life, their attitude towards life. It's really so heartwarming when you know how the Lord is so beautifully at work in these young hearts. So we will listen to them, Devjit, Gaurav and Sudhir, in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and today's episode, the Divine Chancellor Forever. How the Chancellor is at work in the young minds who have joined the Sri Satya Sai Hostel. Let us continue the conversation with Devjit, Sudhir and Gaurav Verma. So many challenges, so many discoveries, so many adjustments and learnings, confirmations, fantastic. So how was it for you, Gaurav?
Yeah, regarding this happiness kind of thing, when I joined here in 11th, I realized that there is a lot of happiness in the small acts which we do here. know, all of us or all the teachers in the hostel, all the students in the hostel, whatever they used to do, they used to do with the feeling that we are doing it for Swami. So I think that kind of feeling I also tried to inculcate in myself, and really that kind of feeling gave a real happiness to me, even in the smallest of the acts, which whatever we did. So I'd like to just narrate one incident which gave me a lot of happiness, even though it's very small.
Please, sure.
Yeah. So it was during our 11th standard drama, towards the end of the academic year. All of us were very rigorously preparing for the drama. And, you know, I had that feeling that, okay, here is a chance. All the actors, they just performed, even if you perform just for 1 or 2 minutes, speak some dialogues, act out, you'll get a chance to be in front of Swami, and Swami will look at you. You can have a glance at Swami. Just, you'll be face to face with God. So, I was very much looking forward for this kind of opportunity. So, I enrolled myself for the auditions for acting. Unfortunately, I was not selected. But, fortunately, I was selected for voiceover. So, and all of us were practicing regularly, and the days went on. And finally, the day came. And we were all ready to put up with the drama in front of Swami. But I had still that kind of feeling that I want to come in front of Swami and just be in front of Him and just be in front of Swami. We all worked hard for sports meet a lot, and then after a lot of practice, physical workout or something, we get hardly 1 or 2 minutes to be in front of Swami. So I wanted badly to be in front of Swami. But I was feeling bad because I was a voiceover, just a voiceover who will be sitting in on the sides and will not have the opportunity to have a...
Actually act out
in front of Swami.
And if you're not acting, you have... probably Swami will not see you, or His eyes may not fall on you.
Yeah, that kind of feeling was there. Mm. So drama day came and... wonderful things happened. Swami came to Bhajan Hall. He spoke to the actors. He gave them wonderful chances. Then all of us, some of our classmates were in the costumes, actors. And then we got nice darshan that day. And then Swami came out and the drama began. And our thing about dramas is everything is well planned out. So that day too, everything was well planned out. Right from what sets have to be brought in front of Swami. Which boy has to take which thing. Everything was well planned out. And it was well practiced also, so there was no chance of any failure. But what an amazing thing happened that time. There was a scene of Manjunatha, where Manjunatha is supposed to refuse the prasadam and throw the prasadam. So till that day, we never practiced with actual prasadam. We used to just imagine there is a prasadam. But on the final day, there was a small banana prasadam, which was given to Manjunatha. So Manjunatha just threw the banana prasadam, refusing to accept that prasadam, since he was a disbeliever of God. Then... and this thing happened, and the set changed, everything happened. So everything was well planned out, except for this banana, which was thrown by Manjunatha, and it was lying in front.
It's an extra element not planned for.
Yeah, correct. So suddenly, the sets were changing, and the next scene was supposed to start. Suddenly, one brother who was sitting next to me, he told me, go and pick up the banana first, before the next scene comes. So I was shocked, and here was a chance for me to go in front of the stage, in front of Swami, and Swami was sitting right in front. So, with all the joy in my heart, I went and picked up the banana and came back. And all this while, I had a chance and Swami could look at me, and then my heart's desire was fulfilled, and I was the happiest person on this earth that day.
Wow.
And I felt, yeah, this kind of thing, even the small things, whatever we do for Swami, even the small thing will give us a lot of happiness. So later on, when we passed out of school and we went to Vrindavan, all of us joined different various self-reliance departments. So I joined stores. And so whatever little acts of service or whatever little acts I used to do, I used to think, okay, I'm doing it for Swami. And that kind of thing used to give me a lot of happiness. Say, for example, carrying some things from stockroom to stores, or doing some kind of small duty such as ringing bell for the hostel. All those things used to give me a lot of happiness. And that was a very great lesson for me. And even in my 11th standard, when this thing happened, I remember I went for vacations. And when I went home, I started doing some small things which I had never done before in my life. Say, for example, washing plates in home, helping out mother for buying vegetables. And I used to think I'm doing it for Swami, and it used to give me a lot of joy. At the same time, my mother was surprised. He's helping me out for household chores. So that kind of thing was a great lesson for me. Small things give great joy if you do it for God.
Wow, fantastic. When you think about it, it was just a pure intent, right? Just a pure intent just to get a moment with the Lord.
Yes.
And how the Lord orchestrated to create an event, you know?
Yes.
He created that opening. I remember Swami Vivekananda has said that a pure will is omnipotent. It has a lot of power. You saw the manifestation of that, you know? You had just that intense, but a very pure desire that you wanted to be with God. and you want the God's glance to fall on you, and He created a entire event, an opening for that to happen. But the most beautiful thing when I think about this is, you know, the way you extrapolated that. That was just one banana episode where you experienced the fruit of your pure intent. But after that, you extrapolated that to everything that happened in the hostel or in your home, thinking that, you know, this is that one more special offering, you know, this is that one extra offering that I can do to you. And the Lord, I think, continued to reward you in His own way, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, when you went home, and I think the mother's satisfaction, the mother's happiness would have been the greatest treasure for someone.
Yeah, when we stay in Swami's hostel, I feel the wonderful blessing which we get is we never feel lonely. We always feel that He's always with us, and He's beside us, above us, inside us, and always around us, taking care of us, looking at us, and nurturing us.
Wonderful. So, Sudhir, tell us about your primary school days. You stayed so many months and years in the primary school, and also your days as you grew up as a Sai student under Bhagwan's close proximity.
Yes, brother. When you are in primary school, getting chances with Swami happens automatically. And that's one thing for which I must be very grateful to my teachers. Because some children, probably because their families knew Swami before and they themselves will know the value of being with Swami, they would naturally yearn to be or to have Swami call them, talk to them. But somebody like me, who maybe my family, we never knew Swami, so all we knew Swami was a great person. So we do not know how it is to be with Swami, but our teachers would give us a chance. I mean, they would send us front to be with Swami, so a birthday chance or a chance to take a card to Swami, and so on. So I got a lot of chances to actually go close to Swami. And in my 10th standard, our teacher, Venkateshwarlu sir, he created a department called card making department. So me and another boy who were good at art, so he gave us this nice chance of making cards for Swami for every festival. Mm-hmm. So that was a very nice way to always go to Swami. So in the process, when we stay here for a long time, we actually get to observe Swami from very close. During Sundays or Thursdays, we can just sit in the mandir and keep observing Swami. And the stories we hear about Swami, in my primary school, our English teacher, she would make it a point to narrate one incident of Swami before starting any English class. We would hear some fantastic story about Swami, and then we go to mandir and actually see the person who was the central character in that. And when you see Swami, yes, you would believe it, because Swami has that, I mean, He is God. So there was never that moment in my life when I did not believe in Swami and then suddenly believed in Swami. It was but natural. It was a gradual and slow process. But I must tell you that in this process, when we see Swami and we observe Him very much every day, I think we learn to have faith in Him and accept that He knows everything, and that when the need arises, He will help us. I'll just narrate one incident in this regard. This was around the time when Swami was in hospital. He was bedridden. So I was at home for my holidays that time. And it so happened that my father met with a bike accident and he had a rib cage fracture. Because of the fracture, he couldn't lie down, he couldn't sit, so any posture would be very uncomfortable. And it was one particular night and he was just tossing around in the bed in pain. And nobody else could sleep. We all were attending to our father. And then I just mentally closed my eyes and mentally called out to Swami with great intensity. Swami, please do something.
This is 2011.
Yes, 2011. Of course, the Swami was also in a similar experience at that time. And I mentally called out to Swami, please do something. And a few seconds later, all my frustration, anger, fear, everything was wiped out. And the field of my entire mind was just filled with images of Swami. It was like a continuous stream, just flashing very spontaneously, without any will, just flowing like that. And I knew that Swami had come. And the next instant, my father said in surprise, "What happened? All my pain vanished." And because I had this experience, I could say with faith, Swami has come. So this experience tells us that whenever we need Swami, we just have to call out. He's just a call away. He'll always respond to us.
Amazing. I think all that you sort of imbibed,
yes,
and in your student days, and you know, when you're out of Prashanthi Nilayam and you experience that, you experience that presence. It's so reassuring that all that faith that got instilled in you, now you see the fruit of that faith yes, happening. Bro. But how was it for you, Sudhir? I know it was very easy for you to sort of gel into the system because you joined in the primary school and you grew up with the system, and you said that, you know, in 12th class, you continued to stay here.
Yes, bro.
There was again Bhagwan's guidance in his own mysterious way. But when you look at yourself, how you were as a primary school student, as you said, you know, you're just doing the things that you're asked to do. You are trained by your teachers to say this or, you know, act in this manner. And you just do it. You don't even question. And perhaps once you become a teenager, you come to the higher secondary school, you begin to question. Yes. And so was there a period in your life where you started thinking, oh, all this, I've just been following, what are they saying? Do I really need to do all this? Are all these teachers taking me for a ride?
Yes, brother, there was such a moment. When we were in primary school, we would follow rules because they were given to us by our teachers, and we are scared of our teachers, and we believe in our teachers also.
I mean, you love the teachers also.
Yes.
As well as you cannot break the rules.
Yes, we cannot.
They are very particular about you following the rules. Yeah.
So, that time following rules was, can say, out of fear of teacher, out of fear of punishment if you break the rule. And then when I came to high school, I was a teenager, and we know how the mind of a teenager is. And when I was in high school, I was in fact very, very confused, because my friends would find something cool and they would find the rules uncool. So I was kind of caught up between this, do I follow what is cool or what is uncool? And I was very confused. And then when I came to Vrindavan, I must mention that in Vrindavan, I see a particularly a turning point in my life. So when I came to Vrindavan, the first year, I was extremely uncomfortable. Though I had been in Swami's institutions all throughout, for some reason, Vrindavan felt like a prison. Maybe because Swami was not there and physically, and the place somehow seemed to be very strict and rigid. In high school, we call Indian stretchable time. So it wouldn't matter if you were 2-3 minutes late or 5 minutes late for something. But in Vrindavan, it was on dot. You had to be that minute or you would have it. So it was very difficult. And for some reason, you know, generally I don't look like a bad boy when you, I look like a good boy. He's a, some kind of guy who follows rules. But for some particular reason,
in no way a rebel kind of a
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I don't look like a rebel or anything.
Absolute conformist to every rule.
So, but then for some reason, our PT there, he's just picked on me. I don't know for what. And for very small reasons, maybe he would catch me not shaving or he would catch me not serving. And for there, the punishment is that if you were caught for something, I mean, if you had to be punished for something, you had to get up early before everybody else. By 4:30, you have to be in the dining hall and spread mats so that everybody can sit for Suprabhatam. So I ended up doing this for something like 3 months.
Oh my God.
I would repeatedly get caught for this. And so in that period, I would constantly question, why is this happening? What is this? Why is this so strict? And but by the second year, I thought to myself, see, so far I was really confused. I was not following the rules exactly. So I thought, why not as an experiment, try following the rules? Why be a cat on the wall, always being confused between following the rules and not following them? Why not just experiment following the rules?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing it naturally.
So till now you were following, but not from your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though you are following, but there was always this confusion and always
yes.
this a sense of absolute restlessness in the mind.
Yes, exactly. It was very restless. I was a restless person back then. So I thought, why not as an experiment begin following these rules? And then when I started following the rules,
how did this thought suddenly come about?
It is not sudden. As I said, the first year was extremely, extremely uncomfortable. And Swami himself says many times in discourse, only when you start suffering and then start questioning yourself, that's when something good will come out of it. It's like a churning process.
Yes.
That's what I think about it. That was also gradual, but in the second year, then I thought, let me, as an experiment.
Probably you just thought that somehow I have to end this restlessness. That's
yeah.
it.
I thought, yeah, if you do not follow the rules anyway, you cannot survive in this place. But okay, as an experiment, take it up. You're growing up. You're going to be a man now. And you have to decide for yourself to do something actually. So when I started following the rules, there was harmony because I had stayed in this place for a long time probably. There is an internal sense of what is right and what is wrong. And the rules obviously are in the direction of right. So when you follow the rules, there is a match between what you actually feel is right and what you're doing as right. So there is harmony and that restlessness gradually subsided. And in my third year, I was also made a room leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I must also tell you that it was that period in Vrindavan when I kind of, you know, developed love for Swami. You might find it odd, but when I was here, I knew Swami as God, but it was more of that awe. It was not love exactly. When I go in front of Swami, I would, a little more tension in my face than a smile. I couldn't smile in front of Swami because I would be lost. No thoughts, no words, nothing.
More overpowered by His personality.
Yeah, more overpowered by His presence. But slowly, towards the end of my 12th, when I went up to Him and asked Him, what should I do next? And some such moments, I was gradually more, I could actually see Swami and, I mean, approach Him as a parent or as a person. But then in Vrindavan, it was in the first year itself that Swami was hospitalized and physically Swami left the world. But then when I started following the rules, one night I had a dream in which I went up to Swami and I could actually smile to Him and He was smiling back at me. And so I thought maybe now because I am in harmony with myself, I am in sync, now maybe I'm able to love Swami and I can actually smile at Him. And another good habit I picked up in Vrindavan was singing bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
Like Devjit said, he was saying that he was used to Western music. I didn't have such Western music and all that, but I somehow wouldn't sing. I somehow couldn't feel free when I clap my hands and start singing. I would think everybody is looking at me and it might appear odd and that sort of a thing. But in Vrindavan, I started...
So you never participated in the bhajans?
Not wholeheartedly.
You just sit there.
Yeah, just sit there. If Swami is sitting there, just look at Him or... Just like that. But in Vrindavan, I actually started singing bhajans and
following.
Yeah,
following. Or you're not leading the bhajans,
not
but
leading.
Following the bhajans enthusiastically.
Yes.
Singing the bhajans loudly.
Yeah. Okay. There were some times when I could even close my eyes and lose myself in the bhajan. So I actually had, remember a conversation I was having with a teacher and I told him, I really find it odd that some people actually close their eyes and lose themselves in the bhajan. I thought I would never be able to do that, but a year later or two, I was actually doing that naturally. And then once when I was sitting in the bhajans and singing the bhajans, I had a vision of Swami sitting on the chair and me holding His feet. And I felt very nice about it. And this love for bhajans gradually, it also inculcated a love for music within me. And towards the end of my stay in Vrindavan, I also got a violin.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm trying to pick up violin. Yeah, I'm taking my first few steps.
Wonderful.
So I come to this conclusion that if you stay in Swami's place, it's of course it is granted that the academic standards are high, so there's no question about that. But if you stay in Swami's place, you will always stand to gain more. The academics anyway come, but apart from that, you know, throughout my stay here, I have picked up basketball, I have picked up violin, I have become a better artist. So I think staying in Swami's place, you only stand to benefit more and more. So when I had to choose after my MSc whether to stay here or go out, of course, it didn't come naturally. But then finally, I decided to stay here.
To pursue a master's in technology, M.Tech. You could have gone anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I also cleared my gate and I applied to most of the IITs. But then I decided I only stand to gain more.
If you stay here.
Yeah.
Because perhaps of what it can do to your personality as
a
whole.
Exactly. So actually we see ourselves every day. We know. So we do not find that change. Maybe we do not see it immediately. But when I go home each time for holidays, my parents are able to notice that change. So they who insisted that I come out after 12th for my engineering now say it was a right decision. Every time I go home, they actually see me as a better person.
Wow. Fantastic. So Devjit, you slowly, after your confirmations and I think after you've adjusted completely to the place and after you have started benefiting from this place, perhaps you are now at a stage where you look back at life and see what you were then and what you were now, and you know, what are your strengths now, and what is it that has so solidly got ingrained in you in the last 5 years. And you know, now you participated in the summer course and had this wonderful chance to even talk in a cycle once also. When you reflect on all these 5 years, what occurs to you as your most beautiful moments of learning, as well as your takeaways?
Well, brother, there are so many, but there are few which have really shaped my life. One of them was learning to help others, and learning to help them with the right intention in the right way. It was during my undergraduate program. It was until my second year that we used to have English as a subject. And not all of my classmates, not all of my juniors were as good in English as the subject demanded them to be. So it would happen that they would come to me for help, but because, you know, the schedule here in Swami's institute and his hostel is very packed with a lot of events, the only time they could come to me for help and guidance would always be during the examination time. And I knew that I have to study so much for the exam that I have tomorrow, and so does this junior or this classmate of mine who's come to me for help, and that is in English, and sometimes I would have a different subject. But at those moments, it was again an urge within me. I don't know where it comes from, and back then I did not know where it came from. Now I know it was God-given. There was always an urge to help them, irrespective of what consequences I might face. I used to follow those urges. I used to teach them, we used to sit all through the night, we used to go through their grammar books, and we used to go through their literature, their prose, and you know, at the end, somewhere towards the morning at 4, they'd be like, "Thank you, brother, it's all done." I'm like, "All right, sure. But now it's, you know, it's time for me to study." And you know, it's already, my exam is maybe about another few hours away. So I would study the little I could in that period, and I would go for my examinations. Sometimes what would happen was, miraculously, my question paper would be limited to a selective part of my syllabus, coincidentally the only part I would have studied.
Oh wow.
Sometimes what would happen was, there were questions that I did not know at all, and blindly I would just write something. I know a lot of examiners do not like that, but I had to do it. And I would just blindly write stuffs on my answer sheet. And at the end of the examination, I very well knew that I hadn't done a good job. But I used to tell myself, it's over now. I'm not going to bother thinking about it so much now. Let's look forward to the next exam. And towards the end of my examination, I would tell myself, okay, next semester you're going to start studying from the very beginning, so that you know, you can help guys during the examination time as well and not compromise on your studies. Alright, they should do that. And I was very well sure that my results would not come well, and you know, I would be subjected to questions as, how could you do this and this and that. But it never happened that way. Every time my results came, I would always top the class.
Always top the class?
I would always top the class.
Even though you had spent your time during the examinations teaching others.
Exactly. It was something that really ingrained in me, the message from Swami, that if you help others, God will help you.
Wow.
And it stayed with me all these years, and I can see it working, but of course it's got its own intricacies. Now, this is another thing. If you help others with the sole intention that, okay, if I help others, I know God will help me. He'll have to help me. So I'm going to help this guy. And you keep looking for people to help because you know God is supposed to help you. Then things might not always work out as you would have thought they would. But if you just help others with that feeling, you know, with that feeling for the sake of helping others, God gives you so much. What you expected? No. Much, much more than what you had expected. Much more than you can imagine. So that is one very important lesson that has stayed with me. The other lesson that has become a part of me is, I am now able to completely
accept the fact that every single person who comes into your life, every single thing that happens to you, this interview for an instance, or you know, everything that's happening to you, every moment, there is a reason for it. And the reason is that it is only for your highest good. This was something that I just happened to register in my head during the summer course in my third year. And for some reason, I took it to my heart, you know. Today, it has really become a part of my heart. It's something that I can feel. I can feel so strongly every single day. Every single thing that happens to me, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, you're not comfortable with a person. You're not comfortable with something, some situation. I have noticed that, you know, Swami will keep sending it back to you again and again and again until you are able to accept it, until you are able to love it as you would have loved anything else. So that is something that taught me that yes, whatever happens to you will always be for your good. It's just easier for you if you're able to accept that fact. Otherwise, the journey becomes a little difficult for you itself. So this happened to me quite a bit. This is not just theory. I actually experienced it because, you know, there were a few people in our hostel I did not, you know, share the same vibrations with. We had very different ideas. Most often they used to cause friction. And I would try to stay away from these people because I knew that they used to make me uncomfortable. But Swami would just not give up. He would start by putting him in my same room, putting me in the same group for a presentation before the class, make him my room leader, make him one of the students I've got to be in, you know, jogging or Vedam with. And all events we had to organize together. Sometimes he would put me in the same house with him, making me his vice captain and him the captain. And, you know, he would just keep sending that person back into my life again and again and again and again until I finally was like, okay, you know what? You know what? I accept it. We're different. And I'm going to accept you just for the way you are. The moment I surrendered to his presence, you know, and the moment I accepted him, Swami just stopped sending that person towards me. He just wants you to learn to accept everybody around you. Learn to accept everything that happens to you. The moment you are able to accept it, he's going to send you something else your way. So that's what stayed with me, and it's helped me very much, because today, every single thing that happens to me, what happens the next moment, maybe something unpleasant to my mind, my body, but I know with a firm conviction that Swami has sent it as a gift. It is for my own good and I must learn from it. So that is something very important that this hostel and institute has taught me.
Fantastic. Well, I should say that this is a learning which takes years to settle in an individual. Once you go through the rigmarole of life, that you are at this stage, even before you have stepped out of the university, is such a huge blessing, because this is what will help you to tide over the vicissitudes of life very smoothly. People come to this understanding after going through all the twists and turns and turbulences of life, because you've got to learn this. There is no other way. People learn it the hard way, and it has perhaps come to you in not so hard way. But life will continue to test if you've got it. And continue to see how strong you are in the learning that the university has given you. But it's really a huge blessing that at least in theory and to a large extent in practice also you have got it. And I think you should be really, one should be really grateful to Bhagwan for this tremendous blessing. I remember this beautiful saying. It says, expectation leads to tears. Acceptance leads to cheers. And once you live this philosophy in your life, there will never be a moment of pain or disappointment, because everything is his doing. Fantastic. So Gaurav, what are those few precious learnings and those precious convictions that you think you are carrying with you as you now move out into the world?
Yeah, I would like to say there are lots of things which we have learned in the past 8 years or so. Some of the most precious ones, I would say, is the confidence which is built in us. So entire this education system which we get over here is a package which is, I feel, is the best for each and every individual. And it will train each and every individual in his own way to make a masterpiece out of him. So I would like to say the confidence which we get by staying here, not based on mere academic knowledge or the confidence which you get out of doing some kind of good in sports or music or something like that, but the confidence which stays with us throughout, the confidence which is instilled in us by the fact that Swami is there with us all throughout whatever happens, is, I feel, is the most important for me personally. I would like to just narrate that one incident which instilled that confidence in me a little more. I must admit that I'm not a good student in academics. I'm one of the medium or towards the bottom of students in the class. So after our masters in physics last year, so I was not sure whether I would get admission here. So I was applying everywhere possible. Though I had not cleared exams like GATE, CSIR, which are very important for one has to continue studies after masters. I had just cleared one exam called GEST and with not so great ranking. So I had applied some 2-3 places, and fortunately wherever I went for the interview, the first question which all the interview panelists asked me was, oh, so you are from Satya Sai Institute. And then onwards the interview went on well. And I had not imagined, but still I got selected in those institutes. But fortunately I got selected here also, so I joined here. So this was not something which I expected, even after not clearing such exams like GATE or CSIR. So I feel, yeah, the confidence that we can enter into anything which we want to pursue, be it professional or any other thing. Academics and all, we can always learn and improve ourselves on. But the confidence that which we get over here by studying here, the various teachings which we learn, staying in hostel, say we stay with each other, we stay with 12 people in the room. So we look at each and every person, we look his good, and we learn from each and everyone individual's goodness. And that kind of thing we incorporate and we become a better individual.
Wonderful. I think as you mentioned, more than our competence in any particular talent, our competence in the character of our faith in Him.
Yeah.
I think that is what is the most important treasure. Yes. That is what is your most valuable position, most yes. valuable strength, right?
Yes, it cannot be taken wherever you.
It cannot be taken, yeah. And I think if I have to put it in a other way, what you said, that self-confidence, what the world generally refers to, they refer to the self-confidence with a small s. But here we are referring to self-confidence with a capital S.
Right.
And that S refers to that one being. For us it is Sai, it could be for anyone, anybody else. But I think when you have confidence in that self, the supreme self, then I think everything else, all the other competences can be picked up along the way. If that confidence in the supreme self is there. I think that is the origin of the self-confidence.
Right.
And it will ultimately lead us to self-realization that Bhagwan always also mentioned. Fantastic. And I think, wow, when you think about it, what a precious learning for life, you know. This is what will make our life. Just like Devjit mentioned about acceptance. Here it is about self-confidence. And Sudhir, tell us your moments of those deep introspection.
Yes, Prabhu. Because I have stayed here for a long time, and because anybody who studies here, I think some things come naturally to them. You may not be aware of it all the time, but when you start thinking about it, what appeared so natural was actually a learning. So I just listed some of them.
Sure.
One thing which comes naturally is sharing. I remember one incident when we would go for birthday celebrations in the primary school. Sometimes Swami would bless the student with an apple. So this particular student, Swami gave him an apple, and he was not eating it. He was just holding it and keeping it in his lap. Maybe it's because Swami wanted to show it as an example to all the VIPs sitting around. He asked the boy, "Why are you not eating your apple?" The boy said, "Swami, I must take it back to hostel and then share it with all my brothers." So in primary school, the practice is that if Swami gives you an apple, you take it back and then it's cut into some 100 odd pieces and distributed to everybody.
Wow.
Swami was showing it as an example. But that's what happens. Because you stay with many people, sharing comes naturally. And not just sharing things, even sharing your time. If you have an examination, the few days away, if it happens to be Ganesh Chaturthi, you must give your time for making the chariot. If there is a class program in front of Swami, we naturally give our time for doing the program and writing the script and acting and so on. So, sharing your time and sharing your things. The next thing that comes naturally is accepting people. Even Devjit was mentioning it. Even Phyllis Crystal mentions in her book, in this place, it's somehow, of course, orchestrated by Swami, you are put in the presence of the person whom you cannot tolerate. And why can't you tolerate a person? Because there is some hindrance in you which is not accepting it. So if you are a very silent kind of person who very introvertly, you might actually find your roommate to be a very talkative guy. And in the process, both of you share your good with each other and in the end you become a better person. So you learn to accept people. Another thing that comes naturally is living with very little. Here in the primary school, we do not have stores or anything. We do not seek expensive birthday gifts because there is no such concept. We just learn to go on with having very little. We just need a pair of clothes and all the regular essentials. And even now in the hostel, we actually don't need that much money. We can just go on. And then we learn not to be too much attached to something. So the simplest example here I can quote is, take the Ganesh Chaturthi for example. So we spend days and nights making that chariot for Ganesha, okay, to be taken and shown to Swami. But just after it's shown to Swami, just like Ganesha is immersed in the water, we must also dismantle our chariot and we do it ourselves. You might struggle hard for a competition, but in the end, if you do not stand first, it's alright. You even feel happy for the other guy who has made it. Or if you're not got the first rank in the class, it's alright. You're still happy.
So there's no sense of acrimony or, hatred against the guy who scored above you.
Yeah. So one thing that's not there here in this place is that sense of extreme competitiveness to push your competitor down and be the highest. Yeah, it's always a person who is good in studies helps the guy who is backward in studies. A person who is good at games tries to coax the other person to actually come out and play. We hear these incidents very often.
Wonderful. One more thing I would just like to add over here.
Sure, Devji.
This is in the context of both these brothers who are in my presence. See, just now, Brother Sudhir mentioned about these competitions and, even when you don't win, you don't feel so bad. You actually feel happy for the other person. And there's one more dimension to this. It's not about just not feeling bad, but for some of us, we actually feel quite inspired.
Hmm.
Because there might be a competition that you're participating in and you do not win it. But when you look at the winners, it's just something worth observing because they would be so amazing. Brother Gaurav here, he's an amazing athlete. To see him run, it's inspiring by itself. Brother Sudhir here, he's one of the most fascinating people I know. His thought processes are really, really nice and the way he speaks is so commanding. And when you listen to these people, when you look at them, you can see how in their process of learning about Swami and, trying to do everything for Swami, get closer to Him. That desperation it's come out so beautifully through them that, it's actually rubbing off inspiration on the viewers. And you feel so tempted that I want to experience the same thing, and that maybe if I, if I have this kind of desperation, this urge of love for and from Swami, you can achieve those things as well. And for many of us, many of my brothers in the hostel, this is where it begins. Looking at these amazing people, you want to also experience the same. And you push yourself to learning about Swami and you want to know more about Swami. You want to love Swami. So this presence itself is so alleviating sometimes. It's so inspiring. Just something.
Oh, sure. As the thought that comes to my mind is when you see someone more endowed than you, there are only two emotions that can happen. One is frustration and the other is inspiration. And the hostel is an environment where you learn to get inspired whenever you see something more beautiful, much more fantastic than you. it only inspires you to do what I can so that I can become that. As Subhi said, I don't have to destroy that person or I have to diminish that person. As they say, you know, I have to make my line longer than his line instead of trying rubbing off his line to make my line look longer. So all I can do is I can draw a bigger line. And I think that is something which a very important takeaway once you go out in the world and we see so much competition. Yeah. The world is very different with persons of various natures. And I think all these learnings will definitely help us. And the other very beautiful thing also which Sudhir alluded to and which all of you also mentioned is about this spirit of living with each other. And I remember in the hostel you have that same board, right?
Yeah. Each one lives for the...
Yes, the hostel is a place where each one lives for the other and all live for God. And I mention this with some emphasis because sometime back I read an article which said that there are many countries, you know, where you had this one child policy for many years. And one of the flip side of this policy, what they are seeing now after so many years, the repercussion is that all these children who were born in this period and grew up in this setup found it very difficult to live with another person when they became managers, when they went to the offices, because they were there all the time, the only child at home, so they always were treated like kings. So tomorrow when they went to the hostel or tomorrow if they had to work with 10 people in the company, it was extremely difficult. They did not know how to give space to another person. So in that scenario, even if you are a fantastic talent, if you cannot work with people, you can be a huge failure. Ultimately, you've got to work with people. As Bhagavan used to always mention, I remember in all the discourses to the MBA students, you know, men are more important than all the wealth in the world. And which is so true. And it sounds a very simple statement, but I think when you ruminate on it, it has such profound implications in real life when you go into the corporate sphere or you go into work. So I think all these learnings, it is the gift that Bhagavan has given us. And it is now for us, as you step out, to see how now these learnings, when they are now put to test, am I utilizing the power of these learnings in what is coming to me in life? It is one thing to learn these and practice this in the hostel, and another thing to really implement this when you are out in the world with people of various ideas and idiosyncrasies and mindsets. And I think we should pray to Bhagwan that, you know, he gives us that strength and that tenacity so that whenever we are out and when we do something, he looks at us and he says, oh wow, I'm proud of him. Wonderful. So before we conclude, any of you would like to say anything more to just add to this conversation?
I think this would be a nice place to say, be thankful for all that I have received here. So this place is not only about Swami, it's also about the institution which Swami has built and the people whom he has selected to teach us and the people whom he has selected to keep as our classmates, as our friends. So I would like to pay my gratitude to all my teachers, starting from the primary school, who taught me to speak and to pray, and my high school teachers who guided me and corrected me when I made mistakes, and my Vrindavan teachers and my Prashanti Nilayam teachers who respected me as an individual and gave me lots of useful advice. I would like to pay my gratitude to all of them.
Wonderful.
Well, yeah, one more thing that I would like to tell is there might be a lot of people listening to us right now who are not directly a part of this institute of Swami's hostel. And for them who just have this thought in me, what would it be like for me to join Swami's institute? I just have a few things to tell you. See, outside, you will find places that will offer you many more academic opportunities for growth and development than Swami's university will. there will be other places that will, you know, help you enhance your artistic and athletic skills as well, more than that is done in our institute. But it is with a firm conviction that I can tell you that there aren't many places which will enable you to shape your character and mold you with so much love like it is done in this institute, and at the same time help you develop academically, artistically and athletically. So if you find a university somewhere in this universe that caters to all of these needs, then definitely go for it. You don't need this place. But as of now, I see this is the only place that fosters such growth. So that's what I would like to tell them.
Fantastic. I think that is a very, very beautiful tip to all those people who are looking to make their lives better in different ways. Everyone wants a higher standard of living. That is what the world generally is after. But what I feel is, what is more important that this place will give us is more important than a higher standard of living is a higher standard of life. And the higher standard of life comes with all these that the institute teaches us. And once you have a higher standard of life, living is a small matter. It just comes along, isn't it?
Yeah, we all learn what perhaps books cannot teach us. And if you see professionally or academically, sports-wise, music-wise, I would like to just add to what Devjit said. In other places, we have to go to the people if we want to learn something. But in Prashanthi Nilayam, the best of the people come and teach us. The best of the academicians, I remember for us, some Nobel laureate students came. So best of the academicians come for sports, teaching us gymnastics. The best of, during the sports meet time, some of the best of the sportsmen come. Some of the people who have Olympic gold medalists, they come and teach us. Regarding music, some of the very top musicians come and teach us. For example, in band, very great musicians who are perhaps to get a chance to speak to them is a rare thing. So such kind of people come and devote their time and teach us. So I would like to say, in all matters, all perspectives, we are groomed in the best possible thing or best possible individual, apart from the character also.
Wow. So it's just a development, as Bhagwan always mentioned, about the heart, head and hand.
Right.
The integrated personality. And I think what ultimately helps you in life is having this rounded perspective of everything instead of having a single view. And I think even now, if you see some of the research in the current times, among the CEOs that are very successful, you see them looking eastward, you see them looking Indiaward, and in fact that you can see even some of the most prestigious companies are now today headed by Indian managers, and they have identified that one of the reasons why they are so successful in their life and risen to where they are so quickly is because of virtues like this, virtues like humility. In fact, this is a research, I don't know how old, or some prestigious institution published it like perhaps 6 months, 1 year ago, I read about it. So what made them what they are today is humility. What made them what they are is understanding people, empathy. So I think once we have these virtues, then your foundation is so strong. After that, you can build any structure. That self-confidence, as we said, you know, if that is there, then everything else just happens automatically, because he's there to look after the Supreme Self. Wonderful. Thank you very much, brothers, for taking your time out. And I don't know how it was for you, but for me, it was definitely a very, very enlightening session, a very, very revealing session, and a very, very memorable session. And I'm really inspired to talk more, to interact more with the current students, because I just realized how much I have been missing out and how much perhaps Radio Sai listeners have not been benefited from. So with a lot of gratitude to Bhagwan for making this happen, and to you for making it possible to come, reflect and share your thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sarah. So that was the conversation with Devjit, Sudhir and Gaurav Verma. And dear listeners, if you were listening to this, you would have seen how Bhagwan is at work so amazingly even now in the hostel. And every student's story is one such in the Sri Sathya Sai Senior Boys Hostel. When Bhagwan spoke to the students in the convocation of 1985, the fourth convocation, Swami said, "If you have the quality of love within you, you can secure anything for yourself and others. Educating one to develop the quality of love is the most important acquisition you can have. You may have secured postgraduate and doctoral degrees, and you might have possessed untold wealth, secure name and fame, and blessed with a long and fruitful life, performed japa, dhyana, or even attained the mastery of the Vedas. But these cannot be compared to the love of Sathya Sai. Cannot be compared to the love of Sathya Sai in any manner whatsoever. Going for education that develops in all its purity. It is love alone which can safeguard this world." And you see how that alchemy of love is working so amazingly in the hearts of students. And it's really heartening to see that the saga of every student coming here, transforming into, as Bhagwan used to say before, street dogs to street lights, is happening. Because he is the one who is here to subdue and sublimate all those tendencies which are not human, make us human, and then take us onto the path of making us divine. So dear listeners, we hope you enjoy this conversation. Tell us what you feel about it. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and if you have any suggestions on this program, please do share it with us. With a heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this program and this entire day's offering at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. Thank you so much for being with us throughout the day. We offer to Bhagwan this chance to spread his message. The Guru Purnima is around the corner, and there are so many devotees, so many youth in Prashanti, and it is such a heartening sight. In the weeks from now, we are going to share with you more about the World Youth Festival. It is really fantastic to see these groups of youth in Prashanti Nilayam. And I know every youth like this has a story, and all these stories, at least a glimpse of that, has to be captured, because that is what will inspire us as we look forward to the golden age. So as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama entitled God is Good. This is presented by the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanti Nilayam, on 13 January 2012. So do enjoy. Thank you so much. Sarah.